From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is an Insight Digital exclusive. I'm Randall White. Keith Lowell Jensen is a writer, performer, and comedian. He's shared the hilarious stories of getting arrested, working dead-end jobs, and punching Nazis. This weekend, he's recording his next album on Sunday, July 14th at Punchline in Sacramento. And we have him here in studio to preview the show. Keith, welcome back to Insight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It isn't. Last time we spoke, I was interviewing you because you were using gig cars.
Driving a gig car.
Right.
But let's not talk anymore about that. I don't want to give them free advertising unless they give me another free gig car.
There you go, right? Tell us about the concept of this new album. It's Unclean?
Unclean, yeah, because I just recorded a clean album for 800 Pound Gorilla Records, and it made me just a ton of money. So naturally, you know, I have to shoot myself in the foot and now go do a dirty one.
So unclean refers to the language.
Yeah, but I also like that it has this sort of religious connotation. you know, unclean has been used to describe, well, I don't know, people like me. What's funny, though, is I don't consider myself a particularly dirty comic. But after doing a clean album and it getting a lot of play on satellite radio, I started having people come to my shows assuming I was a clean comedian. And so I've had to give a few refunds over the last year.
Interesting.
And so I thought, well, let's make sure this one's clearly labeled so they don't buy it on accident and hurt their delicate ears. But it's not particularly dirty, but it's just not, you know, it's unclean.
So deciding content, like, what is your process for organizing material for an album?
This one's interesting because it's just such a mishmash, which I think is fun. It jumps all over the place.
So there's no big picture.
Right. And there's always been a big picture in the past, some sort. You know, there's a period where I was talking a lot about becoming a father for the first time, and then I did the album that was all about all the jobs I had. As you mentioned, I have a set that I'm working on that'll probably be my next big special about all the times I've been arrested. So this one's just like everything that couldn't go on the clean album and that wasn't about a job I had, you know, because you're still writing all the time. And so you just tucking them away. And then my tuck it away file was getting pretty big. I was like, I should record. So
do you have an editor?
I make most of the decisions as far as the editing. But 800 Pound Gorilla Records will work with me. They're great because they never tell me I have to do anything. They always go, well, we have a market for this if you want to do it. And I'm like, you know, they're saying to me, if you like making money, here's a thing you can do. But whatever you want. You
know? How did you hook up with them?
Let's see. J.R. DeGuzman, actually, another local comedian who's fantastic. He had an album, and his seemed to be doing better than mine, even though I thought that mine was better than his. Sorry, JR. So, no, JR's great. But I went to him, and I said, hey, how are they treating you? And he said, oh, I love them. And I wasn't real happy with my label at the time. So I reached out to them, and they already knew me, and they were real quick to say, yeah, let's do it. Actually, they really surprised me, because they were like, well, when do you want to record? I was like, what do you mean, when do I, you know? Next month, they'd be like, sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so we did. We recorded the KLJ Greatest Bits, and that's just done amazing things for me. So,
is comedy a little bit like cooking? Like with cooking, you can make a really delicious meal if you throw in tons of things that aren't good for you. You know, like butter and cheese and, you know, not that those things are necessarily bad for you. But is comedy that? Is it easier to do dirty comedy?
I don't think necessarily that it's easier, but I don't know, maybe to stretch that analogy, it's like fast food. I mean, I love some fast food, but you also know that it's fast food. So I think when you're starting off, you might be able to score some cheap and easy laughs by being really crass or by being a little extreme. But then later, I think it comes to a point where it's not necessarily like easier or harder to be clean or dirty. It's just a matter of trying to be true to yourself. And that's why, like with Unclean, I say I'm not particularly a dirty comedian because I'm just talking about my life and I'm talking about it honestly. When they asked me to do a clean album, I said, well, can I do that honestly? And then I was like, yeah, of course I can. I mean, I have a kid now. I tell her stories all the time that are true to who I am, but I clean them up for her.
Right.
So I just did for, you know, the rest of the listening public what I had done for her. But yeah, definitely you lean on that stuff that, you know, is dirty or out there when you're new, because it can be an easy, quick way to get the audience to pay attention and excited. I guess I'm being really careful not to disparage dirty comics, because you can do dirty comedy that's just an art form that's beautiful, you know? Just like you can make garbage food that's just fantastic.
Right.
There are people that are artists of garbage food.
But you feel maybe the audience at some point wants a more balanced meal. Just to really carry this out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if somebody's leaning on that and using it in a way that's lazy, I find that they get laughs in the moment and they're not remembered, which is just sort of a cliche, but it's true. Like, comedians always talk about that. Like, you can get big laughs, but you can also make an impression and have them remember you. Mm-hmm. And they're hopefully you're doing both, but they're not necessarily the same thing. You know, you can really tickle a funny bone there in the club that night by just being so extreme. And then later they remember the guy who had a really touching story. You know, so
if you hit a spot where the audience isn't responding, can you just use that as a little
seasoning?
Then
I just say, put a bleep in there so it sounds like I cursed.
Right.
No one will ever know that I didn't.
We're speaking with comedian Keith Lowell Jensen, and he's recording a new album for 800-pound Gorilla Records this weekend. It's called Unclean. Last year, you released a lot of material, two albums and a book. Are you trying to top yourself this year?
Yeah. So another comedian was teasing me last Sunday at the Punch, saying, oh, so when you're up recording your album, are you going to announce the date for your next album recording? As I mentioned, I was with a record label that I was frustrated with, and they were taking a really long time to release my stuff. So that's why I'm churning out so much stuff so quickly. Mm. It's going to slow down after this one. It's just that when they're taking 2 years to release an album, I have material piling up. I like to release something every year.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I released two recordings and a book last year, and I'm going to release two albums this year. And then I'm going to slow down to a normal speed.
Let's talk about the book a little bit. Punching Nazis and Other Good Ideas. What inspired that project? And have you punched any Nazis recently?
No, I've never punched a Nazi. And I confess that right from the beginning in the book. It's the book is written from a fan's perspective. I'm a huge fan of Nazi punching, but I've not partaken yet. I haven't found my opportunity, but I hope that I will. I hope that someday I will find my Nazi to punch and be in the right place to do it. So on Trump's inauguration day, Richard Spencer got punched in the face on live TV, and it went viral. And right away, in liberal circles, we all started arguing about the morality and ethics of punching Nazis. And I was like, yes, punch them all. and I felt that we are justified in doing so after, you know, millions and millions of people died the last time Nazis grabbed any kind of power. So a friend of mine, Carrie Poppy, who hosts a very popular podcast called Oh No, Ross and Carrie, was offered a book deal. And she did the delightful thing of saying, you know, I don't really have a book for you, but you should have Keith Lowell Jensen write a book. And they were like, who? And she said, Keith Lowell Jensen, he could write about punching Nazis. So I was so amazed to get an email saying, hi, we're from Skyhorse Publishing. Would you like to write a book about publishing Nazis? And I was like,
punching,
a whole
yeah.
book? You know? So I thought about it and went back and forth with them a little bit and then was like, yeah, I can do it. And it's funny because I've written books before, and I'll send them to one publisher and get one rejection letter, and then I can't take it and I stop. Like with comedy, you get that immediate response. And
right.
if you bomb, you go out the next night and kill because you need it, you know. To spend months and months working on something and then get a rejection letter, I'm like, nah, I'll stick with the stage. This is nonsense. So it was so great to have them come to me and be like, here's an advance. Write your little heart out. And even then, when I was done with it and sent it to them, it was so nerve-wracking because I was just sure they were going to reject it. Like, be like, no, this isn't what we wanted.
You were afraid they were going to start with the compliment. This is really great, but...
Right, right.
And then start, you know, telling you how bad it is.
And instead, the editor said, do you know Aaron Cometbus? And I said, he's one of my absolute favorite writers. And she said, cool, because I'm a big fan of his, and your voice reminds me of his. Not in a bad way, but it's reminiscent in a good way of his. And I was floored because not many people know Aaron Cometbus, not as many as should. And I felt like, oh, I have an editor who actually gets what I'm trying to do. all the things where I was afraid they would be like, oh, this part's too, I don't know, doesn't go anywhere or meanders. Well, if you like Inner Comic Bus, then you like that. You get that. You know, another editor might have been like, nah, that needs to have more of a point, you know. So it was cool. It was a really good experience. And really, we'll probably do a soft cover version of the book next year. We've got like, I think, 1,000 copies left to sell. And then they'll let me record possibly an audiobook of it and a soft cover. So if you're out there, go buy it. And the funny story is it has an unfortunate Roseanne Barr quote on the cover.
Oh, it does.
And the next pressing will not. So this will be a collector's item. Go get the one with the Roseanne Barr quote.
So you mentioned that you do have an idea for a future book.
Oh, I mean, I've written a book version of Not for Rehire.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes.
So I've written books before, and yeah, I'm sure I will write books again. But no, I actually have two kids' books, one of which is going to be published by Clash Books, called Tiger Torn. About a little girl helping her tiger get a job, very much inspired by my daughter. and then I have another one called Peanut Butter the Dragon, and we'll see if that can get, maybe we'll publish that as well. So, but then, yeah, I might write a grown-up book again.
What drives you? Like, what drives you to keep doing this?
Oh, I love the Woody Allen quote. I have to say he's a dirtbag every time I say his name now, right? That's the disclaimer. But I love the quote where they asked him if he was trying to achieve immortality through his work. And he said, no, I'm trying to achieve immortality through not dying. But I don't know what drives me. I guess it's that normal urge of just wanting to leave something of yourself.
When did you know you were funny?
Oh, I resisted it for a long time. The first time I ever got called a class clown, I took it as a huge insult. only later did I embrace it. So...
Class clown is now paying the bills.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when I knew I was funny. But I remember a few times at parties where I sort of held court being funny. And then there's this weird mix of like being proud of yourself and also some self-loathing because you're like, oh, I made myself the center of attention. So the stage is so great because it's like,
you're supposed to be doing that.
It said the lights are aimed at you. The microphone's pointed at you. It's set up for that. You're raised up a little bit. And now I have so much more fun at parties because now at parties I don't want to be the center of attention at all. I'm like, I'm just here as an observer.
If your child shows an inclination to go in that same direction as you, what will be your response?
She's already there. Yeah, we're waiting to go on stage together. She's writing jokes. She's doing, what's funny is that the first comedy I introduced her to was Mitch Hedberg. So she thinks every joke has to be said in Mitch Hedberg's rhythm. She's like, Daddy, I wrote a joke. And then the joke starts, I like oranges. She just Mitch Hedberg's every joke, but she's already writing jokes and good jokes. So yeah, I would tell you one. But when I've done that before, she gets mad at me because she's like, Dad, you didn't do it right. So I'm like, all right, baby.
It's all in the delivery, Dad. Yeah, Come on.
So I blow her jokes. But yeah, we'll get on stage together one of these days.
Well, best of luck with the recording. That is Keith Lowell Jensen, his next album called Unclean. And you can attend the live taping at Punchline Sacramento. It's on Sunday, July 14th. Keith, thanks again for being on Inside. Always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio. And I love my life, and I hate it.